traditional veterinary care can keep animals healthy and treat problems when they arrive and get them back, our animals back in good shape. But there is also a whole range of alternative treatments that can work along with the more medical care, or maybe they can work on their own. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. My guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, back. She's the owner and founder of Full Circle Veterinary Clinic, graduate of the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. She uses a range of alternative therapies to complement her traditional veterinary medical training. And Dr. Carrie, welcome back. Good to have you back.
Oh, great. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you.
You know, Judith posted up on our Facebook page a photo of a dog that is getting acupuncture treatment, and you look, and I hope as you listen today, as Carrie and I talk, as you listen, you should go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and take a look at that dog. That dog looks like he or she is really pleased.
I know,
with
and
all
so
those
relaxed.
Needles sticking in the rump.
With all of those needles sticking in his or her back. Yeah, I know. And that is what I have found over and over, is that animals do remarkably well with acupuncture, or getting these tiny little needles put into their, right underneath the skin, into these energy pathways that the Chinese have mapped out thousands of years ago. Animals do wonderful with it. Dogs, cats, exotic species. Once I start putting the needles in, they tend to just relax. A lot of animals fall asleep, and it is amazing to me. Many people ask me, oh, how my animal's not going to go for acupuncture. My dog's not going to do well with acupuncture. And it is amazing how well they do.
So basically, what all does it entail? Is it just you've got these really fine needles?
Mm-hmm. Tiny, tiny little needles that are placed along what are called meridians. And the Chinese people, thousands of years ago, mapped out these meridians, and what they are pathways of energy in the body. And it's acupuncture is one of those. It's an alternative treatment to us here in the West, and it's kind of like an energy medicine. Mm-hmm. And the whole theory is based on kind of the qi, what the Chinese people mm-hmm. call the qi, which is the vital life force or the life energy. In a completely healthy animal, that qi or their energy is flowing all throughout their body completely normally, seamlessly, and all the way through along these energy pathways. If there is any illness in the body, any disease, they see that as a blockage of the free flow of energy. So by putting these acupuncture needles along these certain pathways, we can help to unblock the energy flow and thereby balance out the body and bring health and wellness back to the animal.
Well, it is really cool, and we're not talking about something that somebody invented last week.
Right, this goes back thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And what types of conditions normally, or not normally, can you treat?
Boy, you can really treat anything that you can treat in Western or conventional medicine with a pill or a medication can be treated with acupuncture. Most commonly, I see dogs or cats that have arthritis as they get older. And arthritis in Chinese medicine is kind of seen as a blockage of energy in those joints. So I'm going in and I'm placing needles either around those joints or at other points in the body to help release that energy flow, bring about healing, help with pain, help with inflammation. So arthritis is a big one. I also treat anxiety. I treat allergies. I treat organ disease, liver disease, kidney disease, heart disease, seizure disorders.
Wow.
Boy, really anything can be helped by acupuncture.
Now, when you put those needles in, how long do they stay in? Are they in there for a long time? Or
typically, a treatment will last about 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh.
So I'll put the needles in. I put in about 15 or 20 at a time, and then they stay in for about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, as long as the animal is comfortable. And really, what I do is I let the animal guide me, and it's so interesting. Most dogs and cats will let me know when they're finished. They might fall asleep, and right around that 20-minute mark, 15 minutes, oftentimes they'll wake up, they'll stand up, they'll shake off or do something, and then I know, well, that's it. They're done. Treatment is over.
Oh, and how often do you have to repeat the treatments? Or
yes, what? Oftentimes, and really it all depends. Some animals benefit greatly from one acupuncture treatment. With many of the chronic and deeper diseases like the allergies or kidney disease, something like that, it takes a couple of treatments and they tend to build on each other. For things that have been going for a long time, it takes a little bit of time for us to really bring about that balance and the healing.
I'm trying to imagine what potential risks. I'm having a hard time coming up with risks, but maybe there are some to acupuncture.
That's a good question, and I really like acupuncture because there are no known side effects, no risks. It's only going to help if it's going to do anything at all. It's not going to have any negative side effects.
And, just one final thing before we move on. I'm wondering about how it may be used in conjunction with other treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that sometimes?
Oh, definitely. And I often recommend that people work with a regular vet if they're treating a medical condition and using acupuncture to support whatever they are doing with their regular vet. And one of the cases that I think acupuncture can really benefit animals is in cases of cancer, where they might be undergoing chemotherapy, radiation therapy, dealing with this major illness. Acupuncture is great to help support their quality of life, help to boost their immune system in conjunction with some of those other conventional treatments.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She works in out of her Madison offices over on the east side of Madison, actually about four blocks from my house.
I know, yes.
We're pretty close. We're neighbors.
Yeah.
Great to have her along, and certainly lots of callers online. You may have a question. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, post on our Facebook page. In fact, on our Facebook page, Judith already posted a photo and a question of, let's see, a dog. What is it, a shepherd?
Oh, look at that.
Ooh, beautiful dog from Jeff in Wyota. And we'll talk about his in a minute. But I want to give Cindy in St. Germain a chance to join us. Cindy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I've wanted to call in before when you've had these kind of practitioners on. I'm an enthusiastic fan. I had a dachshund, and after I got her, I educated myself on the problems that they have with the premature aging of their discs. And so when she did go down she was about 8 years old, she was paralyzed from the neck back, and I knew it was really important. And I knew the traditional way of treating it is to do a myelogram, find out where the rupture of the disc is, and then operate. But I also knew that that's not, you know, there's risks, there's no guarantee, and then there's nothing saying that, you know, a year later the next disc is going to go. And so I got her in within 24 hours for chiropractic care with a veterinary-trained chiropractic down by Sun Prairie. And she was paralyzed from the neck back, could not move, nothing. I mean, just severe pain, but she could not move from the neck back. And I brought her into that vet clinic. And within 1 hour, she was on her feet and able to wobbly walk and pee for the first time. And it was a long, slow recovery, but it was worth the trip, and she had that care the rest of her life. And that was used in conjunction with the acupuncture. And to see it work on a dog, it's not like it's, you know, imagined. A dog can't make it up. But to see the chiropractic work and to see the relaxation the acupuncture did, it was just amazing, and I highly recommend it for anybody who has the disc problems with their dogs.
Cindy, thank you so much. And Dr. Carey, comment from you?
Thank you so much for sharing that, Cindy. Yeah, I would say in cases of paralysis, acute paralysis like that, where there is that intervertebral disc disease or a slip disc, conventional medicine, you know, your options are really either surgery, like what Cindy mentioned, or high doses of steroids and these heavy-duty medications. This is one of those cases where what I have seen with acupuncture and the chiropractic too is as close to miraculous as I have seen. When a dog comes in that's not able to walk and we can place some of those needles, we can make an adjustment, and they're able to get up and start moving again, it is just amazing. So, yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for calling. Yeah, I appreciate your call. And I want to give Rosemary in Cloverland, Wisconsin, a chance to join us. So let's go there. Rosemary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, my sister recently got a dog. She's about 7-8 years old, about the size of a Bichon Frise. And she's had constipation on and off for like 3 or 4 days. And she's been looking online to see what to give her, and she wasn't sure. Somebody said pumpkin, but she just can't go. She can see her straining when she goes out.
Constipated, Bichon type dog.
You know, and the canned pumpkin is not a bad idea. And what the canned pumpkin does is it goes in and just adds a whole lot of fiber into the diet. And it's very nice for regulating the GI system, because if there is any diarrhea, that fiber is going to regulate it and bring the stool back to normal. If there's constipation, it's also going to regulate that and bring things back into a normal range. So you might try the canned pumpkin for that dog. It's a good first line thing to try. I would also say increasing how much fluid is in the dog's diet. If the dog is eating a dry food, I would add in some water to that, or you can add in some no sodium chicken broth or vegetable broth, and just to increase the fluid intake.
Okay. Now, would that have anything to do with the fact that she did have urinary stones, I guess, her bladder, her urinary bladder?
Well, sometimes it's tough to make that connection, but I will say that I have seen animals that are prone to urinary tract infections also having difficulty with GI issues as well and being more prone to constipation. So if there are any bladder stones, bladder issues, another reason to increase how much fluid is going into that diet, just to help flush things out of every system.
Okay, at what point should she think that, you know, it's been going on too long and maybe go see a vet? She does have a holistic vet that's close to her house also.
Oh, great. You know, I guess I would say if it's going on for more than 7 days and it's not getting any better and it's not responding to the pumpkin, another thing that you could add in would be some coconut oil in with the food, or some omega-3 fatty acids like fish oil. That also helps to lubricate things. If it's not responding to that, then I would take the dog in.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Rosemary. Ned in Minocqua, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the program. I've got a golden retriever that's it's always been in good health, with the exception it gets occasionally hot spots and itches. And so we switched its food to a grain-free diet type dog food, which has helped a lot. But my question is this: a lot of, you know, you see on the radio and on TV advertisements for supplement programs like Dynavite and some of the other ones. And I'm wondering what your experience has been with that type of a product, just giving the dog more nutrients. And in the case of Dynavite, of course, it's not a cooked nutrient, so it's more natural, I guess. And I just wanted to know what your opinion of that type of product was.
I wish I was more familiar with the Dynavite that you are talking about, and I'm just not sure about what those ingredients are in there. I believe it's probably some sort of a superfood supplement. But I guess my recommendation would be, there are, and that's one of the problems that you get into is there are so many products out there, and it's so hard to know, well, what is going to be the best thing for my pet? And when multiple products are being advertised as, you know, being the one and only thing, it's tough to make that decision on what would be the best thing to give your pet. And I really recommend you made the switch to the grain-free food, and that is the nutrition, the diet, having the high-quality food is going to be number one. And then adding in supplements on top of that, I always recommend a good probiotic supplement. It's nice to have a probiotic that also has digestive enzymes in it. And you can find products out there either through your vet or through a trusted source that has a good probiotic just to help support the GI tract. And then I also recommend omega-3 fatty acids or fish oil or something like coconut oil. Really good to add in extra on top of whatever conventional or commercial food you are feeding.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Okay, like a fish oil, what would you do? Just buy human fish oil tablets and bust them and spread that on its food?
Yeah, you can definitely do that. And for most dogs, maybe about a 50 or 60-pound dog, they would get similar to what the human dosage would be. So 1,000 milligrams of that fish oil twice a day, just breaking open one of those capsules. I would caution you to be very careful on where you are getting your fish oil from. There is some concern about the mercury contamination. So as long as you're getting that from a trusted, good quality source, it's going to be fine for your pet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. How do you find a trusted source?
Oh, yeah. You know, the products that I carry in my practice are from sources that I trust and that I know well. So I guess I would recommend that people talk to either their vet, their holistic vet, or their human doctor, where are they getting their products from? Mm-hmm. Instead of going to maybe a drugstore and just taking something off the shelf, it's a little bit less regulated, maybe not always the best quality.
Jen in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have my dog. He's part hound and part Rhodesian Ridgeback, and he has had allergy problems ever since we've gotten him on his underside. And we've tried everything from changing his diet to bring him to the vet. They put him on prednisone, which worked, but it's the life out of him. And then he made him miserable. And I don't really believe in putting animals on those kinds of medicines for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if there was any suggestion of other alternatives. It sounds like this acupuncture may be a great alternative. Mm-hmm. Or if there's anything else that you can suggest for me.
Boy, this is one of those cases where I agree with you. Acupuncture might be something to try. And not only doing acupuncture, but also doing in conjunction with that an herbal blend that works with the acupuncture to kind of go in and rebalance the body out. And it would be just a completely different approach from doing something like the prednisone, but would go deeper. With these allergy issues, you know, prednisone is one of those things, and prednisone is a steroid that goes in and can turn things around very, very quickly, but it's just a Band-Aid. I mean, it really only covers up the problem. And once you stop giving the steroid, the allergy issues come back, and sometimes they're even worse because you're going in and you're suppressing the immune system. So I would say supplements that help to boost the immune system, including acupuncture and maybe some herbal supplements as well.
There we go. Good luck, Jen. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today about your pet's health with Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Works out of Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your pet's health with Dr. Carrie Donahue, Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for joining us today. And as you call in, you'll say hello to the birthday girl, Judith Sears Poisson, and she'll help you get on the air with us at 1-800-642-1234. As well, if you've got a nice photo of your pet, we always love to see those photos. You can post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post a photo. And a question or comment there as well. Certainly love to hear from you. And Barbara in Milwaukee is up next. Barbara, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind? Barbara, are you there? Oh. Well, that's strange. Let's see. Let's try Linda in Madison. Linda, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just took in a stray cat. Well, it's been about a week now. But he, you know, throws up a lot, and I assumed, well, you know, he hadn't been eating, so his stomach is not used to eating food all the time. And I started feeding him, like, once every 3 hours, and that's still, he still tended to throw up at night. And then I, from a friend, I got a couple cans of that digestive-type cat food, wet cat food. But he still can throw up, and quite often at night he does.
Hmm.
So I'm wondering, and I have an appointment on Friday to take him in to check for a worm, different mm-hmm. kinds of worms, and feline leukemia. But what else can, I mean, I guess I just wondered how long can it take for, you know, a cat to system to get so it can take food, you know, for a longer period.
Right, I know. Does it seem like the cat is throwing up every time that he eats?
Not every time, but I am right now feeding him once an hour, small amount.
Okay, small amounts once an hour. Does it seem like he's eating the food very quickly? Because sometimes that can cause them, especially stray cats, like what you had mentioned, if they're eating a lot at one time, they can throw that right back up. But if you're doing smaller meals, then he shouldn't be because of that.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to, I don't think he's eating quite as fast as he did.
Okay.
In the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So in doing the bland diet is a good idea, that the GI support food that you are feeding, the canned food. You know, there's a possibility. The other reason that I see cats throw up quite a bit is because they have a food allergy. If you can maybe eliminate from what you're giving him any, like, the grains, corn, wheat, soy, chicken, and beef are the most common things that cause allergies in cats. So maybe trying a fish-based food, a fish-based canned food, or even doing some home-cooked food for him, cooking up some, maybe some turkey and some baby food, trying that just to give him something totally different.
So something without chicken?
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
Or beef. Or grains.
Right. Yeah, so maybe and even getting a can of baby food. You could do turkey baby food and mix that in with a little bit of white rice, just something that is going to be very, very simple and very bland and very gentle on his whole system. That might be something to do for a couple of days and see if that improves.
Yeah, good ideas. Good luck, Linda. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Had a nice photo up on our Facebook page from Justin. Isn't that a beautiful dog?
Oh, yes. Very beautiful.
Wow. I'm not sure what breed.
That looks like a boxer to me.
Yeah, I guess it is. A very regal boxer, too.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald on Facebook wondered if a person can use ground flaxseed in a dog's diet, and if so, how much for a 25-pound dog?
Oh, that's a good question. Flaxseed is a great source of the omega-3 fatty acids. So flaxseed, and I typically recommend flaxseed oil, but that would be an alternative to something like fish oil. So you can give flaxseed oil to dogs. Cats don't really metabolize it as well, so they can't use it. But for a dog, you can add in the ground flaxseed. I would probably be conservative and do maybe a half to one teaspoon with the food.
Okay. Pat in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Well, I originally called because I wanted to talk about acupuncture for end-stage arthritis in my dog.
Mm-hmm.
But my dog also has hypothyroid disease, and she's 7 years old, and I have her on, I think it's called thyrosine.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like medication. And, it, you know, it's chronic, so she'll be on it for the rest of her life, and I'm wondering if you have some alternative to having to medicate her. it's a harsh medication. I guess it can damage their liver over a long period of time.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Hypothyroidism in dogs, a lot of times they do require some sort of thyroid supplementation, some sort of synthetic medication, kind of like the thyroxine that you are giving. But by doing some of the alternative treatments, you can get that to the lowest possible dose. And some dogs, if they are on maybe an herbal formula to support their thyroid, they won't need as much of the thyroid supplementation that you would be giving. So it would be worth exploring. One thing that I do for dogs is a supplement called it's canine thyroid support. And what it actually has in it is the extract from the thyroid gland of another animal that is put into it. And it really does help support the thyroid function of an animal that is hypothyroid. So that might be something to consider. Also, acupuncture. The nice thing about acupuncture, too, is you can treat multiple issues in one treatment.
Yeah.
So I could do a treatment for arthritis, and I could also help support the thyroid gland and the endocrine function in general in one acupuncture treatment. So that would be something to look into for both of those issues.
Can you explain a little bit about how it treats arthritis? My dog, Seven, she's had end-stage arthritis for many years. I take her out every day. She runs a couple miles every day, but she's very stiff and, you know, has a hard time getting up off the floor sometimes.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's too bad.
Can you explain to me how that works?
Yeah, is the acupuncture mostly, does it seem like it, or the arthritis, is it in her hips, or?
It's in her knees.
In her knees,
In her back knees, both knees.
Okay.
And she's also had ACL surgery back there, and one knee was so arthritic that it actually supports a meniscus tear, so that they didn't have to, you know, that's how advanced it is. She must have had it as a puppy.
Oh, okay. And is she on some joint supplements right now? Like
she's on carprofen.
Carprofen, okay.
But I don't have her on, I forgot what that supplement is that helps the joints, only because it didn't work for my other dog, so I...
Chondroitin, glucosamine.
Yeah, the glucosamine chondroitin.
Yeah,
I might re-examine that and look into getting her on a glucosamine chondroitin supplement. Something also that would have the omega-3 fatty acids. Again, fish oil is really good for inflammation in the body, which is what arthritis is. It's inflammation in those joints. So that might be helpful. I have some glucosamine chondroitin supplements that also have herbals in them. Boswellia is one of them, and turmeric is another one that are very good natural anti-inflammatories. So maybe finding a supplement that has more than just the glucosamine chondroitin, that has some other ingredients, might really help. The acupuncture needles, at those points, if I did points locally around her knee, by putting that needle at the point where there is any pain and there is any inflammation, it helps to bring blood flow to that area. And if we can get blood flow to that area, we're going to help flush out that inflammation. So kind of looking at acupuncture from the Western medical perspective, that's what it does. Those acupuncture points are at places where the nerves come together, the blood vessels all come together. So we're going to increase the healing just by activating those spots.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll think about bringing her in.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Jonathan and Shorewood, your turn. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. I've got a 9-year-old Golden who has severe arthritis, I think mostly in her ankles. Mm-hmm. We have her on Rimadyl, which has turned her back into a puppy again. She can play like a pup.
Great.
I'm wondering a couple of things. One is, am I hurting her by having her exercise vigorously, which she just loves to do?
Well,
is that aggravating the
this condition?
Well, the thing with giving the Rimadyl, which is kind of like an aspirin type of medication, so it's good for pain and it's good for inflammation. It makes dogs feel like they can do anything. So I would be a little bit worried if she's taking the Rimadyl and she's very active that she might be doing a little bit more damage to that ankle, to the area that's arthritic, but she's not feeling it because she's on the Rimadyl. So I would take it easy. But, you know, you still want her to enjoy life and be a dog and play how she wants to, but maybe limiting the time that she's doing that for shorter periods of time.
Yeah, we used to take her out for two vigorous sessions a day, and now we just do one in the afternoon. Is carprofen a legitimate alternative to Rimadyl?
It's the same thing. So carprofen is the generic form of Rimadyl.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I tried glucosamine chondroitin for myself, mm-hmm. and it didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped giving it to my dog, too.
Yeah.
But I am taking turmeric and ginger, which has been wonderful for my arthritis.
Oh, great.
And I'm wondering, too, the other question is, how many sessions to manage her arthritis would one require?
Well, with the acupuncture, typically I start out doing about two or three sessions about 1 to 2 weeks apart to kind of get the full benefit and with the sessions building on each other.
Uh-huh.
After three sessions, you really kind of can then make a reassessment and see, well, how well is the acupuncture working? And then at that point, I'm usually able to start to stretch out the treatments where the body is kind of able to maintain this balance. So oftentimes you would only need, once you do the initial treatment, you need to bring them in, you know, maybe once every 4 to 6 months, just for kind of like a tune-up.
And is there any kind of register of certified acupuncture doctors?
Yeah, if you go to the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association website, it's the ahvma.org, you will find a list of holistic veterinarians, and each veterinarian has listed what modalities they practice, whether it's acupuncture, chiropractic, homeopathy, anything like that. So you can find a good acupuncturist through that website.
So it's ahvma?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for calling, John. Appreciate your call. And lots of callers online, too. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Judith in Wausau, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Two hopefully quick questions. One, wanted to inquire about the use of acupuncture for the treatment of diabetic neuropathy in dogs and cats. And secondly, can cats take turmeric?
Oh, okay, good question. Yeah, cats can definitely take turmeric. I use turmeric quite a bit. And actually, what I've used for dogs and cats is curcumin, which is kind of the active ingredient in turmeric. And there is a supplement that I use, and it's by the company called Thorn, T-H-O-R-N-E. They make a very, very high quality curcumin supplement for animals, for dogs and cats. Works very well for arthritis. It works for any liver issue, and it works well for any GI upset. It's a good natural anti-inflammatory for any of us.
How do you dose? A cat is so little.
A cat is little, yeah. And it comes in these little, they're quite small capsules.
Okay.
And a cat dose is half of one of those capsules. So what you can often do is break open the capsule and sprinkle some of that powder right in with the food.
Oh, and they'll eat it.
Yeah, sometimes. Most often they will. If you can hide it in something that tastes really well, really good, you can get them to eat it. But cats are, you know, notoriously difficult. Sometimes, you know, worst case.
And turmeric has an odor,
might not like. Yeah. So, you know, you might be in the situation where you're just putting that capsule just straight down, just like a pill.
Okay. And then acupuncture for diabetic neuropathy in cats and dogs? Is it effective? And how many treatments, you know, might be in order?
Yeah.
How would that work?
It's a tough one to say. You know, in some cases I've seen it can really help, and it definitely improves the quality of life and it improves movement. I can't say for sure that it would bring a complete turnaround.
Oh, that's almost impossible.
Yeah.
More. I'm talking about, you know, the stiffness, the reluctance to move, the to sort of give more flexibility.
Right.
It would be pretty unusual if you could eradicate the neuropathy.
I know. And any neurological issue is difficult, whether you're using acupuncture or, you know, anything else. But it would be worth trying, and it certainly might help.
Mm-hmm. And so you'd recommend, like, regular treatments, like once a week, once every 2 weeks? What would be... You know, how would you proceed? What would be the protocol, do you think?
Yeah, what I would do is plan on doing about 3 treatments, 1 to 2 weeks apart.
Okay.
And then at the end of those 3 treatments, then you kind of reassess and see how things are going. But I would plan on doing 3 at least to get the full benefit.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And what's the range of cost on this? I mean, you know, some people have been saying, well, how much does it cost?
Yeah, typically an acupuncture treatment costs between $60 and $80
okay.
per treatment.
Okay.
So, you know, there is that initial cost that you do put into it, but then when you think about,
it's not a bad deal if it's...
Yeah, if it's going to actually go in and help the problem, help cure the disease from the inside out instead of doing a medication, and those are also expensive that your pet might be looking at being on lifelong.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you kind of weigh the benefits of that.
Yeah, well, that seems pretty reasonable when you consider what... the benefits.
Right, exactly.
Susie in Wauwatosa, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a cat. She's about 5 years old. For the past 2 years, she's basically been living in a cone because she licks herself raw. She also has seizures, so she's on phenobarbital twice a day. Have no idea if it's related or not. My vet pretty much told me that we have a lemon for a cat,
aww,
as sweet as she is, but they can't seem to figure out how to help her.
Mm-hmm.
She did do some laser treatment to see if they could desensitize that area or get the cell growth or something like that, and it didn't really seem to do anything. And I just feel horrible that this poor sweet cat is in a cone forever. So I was wondering if maybe you had something else to try.
Boy, where does it seem like she's focusing? And
her belly and her armpits.
Okay.
Food, changing her food. That doesn't seem to do anything.
Okay.
She tried an anti-anxiety medication. I'm not sure what that was, but that didn't seem to help it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually when cats are licking on their abdomen, it's one of a number of things pops into my head. So one of the top things would be an allergy. And if it's on their abdomen, it has the potential to be something that they are coming into contact with, something that they're lying on, you know, whether it's the carpet or a piece of furniture, something that's actually irritating the skin that they're coming into contact with. So they're licking to make it feel better. Sometimes cats do it just as a behavioral issue. Yeah. They're stressed out, so they'll start licking the fur. It kind of is a self-soothing behavior. So, and it sounds like you tried the anti-anxiety medication. That didn't make a difference. It's good to always do blood work just to see if there is any internal condition like a liver or kidney problem that's causing them to be painful, and that's why they're licking. The other thing that I've found can really help and might be part of the problem is checking the cat's anal glands. And the anal glands, just like in dogs, it doesn't happen as commonly in cats, but the anal glands can get impacted. And the cats will start to lick their abdomen because that's the place that they can reach that makes it, it's kind of as close to the anal glands as they can get to try to relieve that pressure. So I might take her back into the vet and have those anal glands checked and see if that might be part of the issue.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Visiting today about your pet's health with Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She provides an option for holistic and alternative care in addition to basic conventional veterinary services. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here taking a look at your pet's health with Dr. Carrie Donahue of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. And we have a link to her page on our website, but what's your address?
It is fullcirclepet.com.
Fullcirclepet.com. There you go. And you have some educational materials on there as well as...
I do, yeah. So it kind of talks about the different things that I use to treat animals. So it talks a little bit about acupuncture, about homeopathy, about herbs, yeah, and conventional vet treatments too, yeah.
Brenda in Madison has a question for you. Hi, Brenda. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 4-year-old Cocker Spaniel who, of course, needs a lot of grooming. She gets regular grooming every about 5 weeks. And ever since she was a puppy, she doesn't want me to touch her with a comb. Mm. She doesn't like anything. She doesn't like a comb around her head. However, she came from a reputable breeder, so there's no inbreeding. And she sits on my lap and I can pet her, so she's not afraid of itching her head or touching her head or anything. But it's the comb and a brush coming near her. She's very good with the groomer. However, we do tranquilize her when she goes to the groomer. Well, actually, the groomer comes to my house.
Oh,
so it's
great.
Someone she's known for a very, very long time. Well, she's only 4. Mm-hmm. But we wonder, it's almost like she had been hit as a puppy. But, you know, I've met with her breeder, and I just know that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then another strange thing happened, and it happened this morning. She had a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier this year, like March and May, when she had these seizures, I thought, wait a minute, it has to do with grooming and the tranquilizer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my vet says, no, there's no relationship between the tranquilizer and seizures. And she wasn't groomed today, and lo and behold, at 11 o'clock this morning, she had another seizure. Mm-hmm. Now, she hadn't had one since September, totally unrelated to her grooming. But I happened to hear you talking about acupuncture, and I thought, oh, I wonder if that might solve at least one of our issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is the tranquilizer that you are using?
Oh, gosh. Of course, I can't tell
you.
Oh,
that's
I
okay.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go up to the medicine cabinet and get it if you would like me to.
No, that's okay. But I do think that acupuncture might be helpful. And I do quite a bit of acupuncture for both cases of seizure disorders, epilepsy in dogs. It can really help. And also for anxiety issues, you know, for that sensitivity. So
I think the grooming is an anxiety, or the combing.
Mm-hmm.
I even got a grooming table to put her on, thinking that would be more comfortable for her.
Mm-hmm.
She puts her paws up on my shoulder and puts her head on my shoulder like, oh, please don't comb
me.
Oh,
poor thing.
So at any rate, this morning after her seizure, I did call our vet, and I'm taking her in for a blood test this afternoon.
Okay, good.
And so he said we'll start there, but in the meantime, you were on the radio, and I thought, acupuncture, I wonder.
Yes, yeah. Something to look into and explore, and I think, you know, it would only help if it did anything. And the other thing that you might think about having on hand, there is a Bach flower remedy. It's like a homeopathic flower essence blend, and it's called Rescue Remedy. And it's really great for animals that have seizures. And it's all natural. It's not going to have any side effects. It's something that you can give if you see that a seizure is starting to come on. And a lot of times it will bring the animal either out of the seizure or at least decrease the amount of time that they are having the episode. The Rescue Remedy I use a lot of times for animals that have anxiety too. So that might be something to pick up. It's an all-natural supplement. You can find it really at any health food store. And you could start giving that to her at any point. It's not going to interfere with anything.
Would that be something that you would perhaps use for an animal who's afraid of thunder?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Aha, because I had another cocker who would crawl in the closet during a thunderstorm, and we gave her something that was a non-prescription.
Oh, okay.
It really quite helped. I don't remember the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you think even with my combing her or anything like that, that all of this, that's an anxiety issue?
Well, it's hard to say, but it sounds like it could all be related to the anxiety. And, you know, who knows what might have happened that you just don't know.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
And now something just flew out of my mind. I was going to ask about, I had a feeling all this week that she was starting to have a seizure
because
she would jump and jump to the floor like she had a flea bite or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would be fine. And I would reach for her like, oh, my goodness, the seizure's happening,
mm-hmm.
and nothing would happen. I'll bet that happened at least 4 or 5 times prior to today.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like, you know,
that might be the tip to start the rescue remedy.
Exactly. If she's showing you some signs that something, or you just have the feeling that something is coming, you could start giving that rescue remedy.
That makes a lot of sense. Good luck, Brenda. Thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate your call. Connie in Wautoma, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Connie.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, we have a 6-year-old cat named Rudy, and he has been prone to get acne around his mouth. And the first time he had it, I took him to the vet, and she gave me some substance, which I don't even know what the name of it is, but it's kind of like betadine,
mm-hmm.
what you would use to prepare an animal for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used it twice, but he so reacts to it, to me, that he will hide and he will not be who he is. And so this last time I stopped using it. And it seems to be resolving on its own, though I expect it will come back. And so I wonder how to prevent it. And when it comes, is there a way I can treat it without making him afraid of me or not reluctant to come around me?
Right, yeah, I know. And sometimes that betadine, which is an iodine, that
smells funny.
Yeah, it can be somewhat irritating, especially if there is any open skin. You want to make sure that it's very, very dilute with a lot of water in there and just a couple drops of that betadine. But still, I mean, cats really don't like anything where they have to be held down and, you know, you kind of have to get in there and scrub the area to really clean it out. So I can imagine that's not easy. Anyway, I would take a look at maybe what kind of food you are feeding. A lot of times cats that eat out of plastic dishes can develop that chin acne. Cats that are eating canned food that kind of sits, if it doesn't all get in their mouth and it's sitting on their fur, then that can irritate the skin there and then cause that chin acne. So maybe wiping, just a quick wipe of her chin anytime after she eats and making sure that you're using stainless steel bowls.
Using what?
Stainless steel bowls to feed?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
So you're already doing that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're already doing that, and I wash them every day with soap and water and rinse them well.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not as bad as it was when we were not using stainless steel, but I know that if I start to wipe them every time he has some wet food, and he gets very little. He gets probably a teaspoon of it because we don't, you know, that's just what we do. And he eats a good, at least I've been told, it's called Fromm, or made by Fromm in Wisconsin someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does eat that. But, you know, not a whole lot, probably 3 ounces in a day or a little bit less. So we're doing that. Is that about all we can do in terms of the dishes? And if I start wiping his chin, he will run away and he'll be miserable.
Yeah. So then it's not so much worth that struggle. I would even look into doing an internal supplement to help kind of boost his immune system. That might be something to try. And for cats, you could do even something like coconut oil. You know, it really is a kind of like an all-over system, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antifungal. You could put a little bit of that in with the food, and that might help.
Okay. It just so I can go to the grocery store and get coconut oil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then when you say little bit, an eighth of a teaspoon?
Oh, I think, an eighth to a quarter of a teaspoon would be fine. The other thing that you could do would be adding in some yogurt, some plain yogurt. Add in those good probiotics, kind of help to balance the pH level in the body, which might be a little bit off if he's prone to getting that chin acne.
Okay.
And you can also do something like hydrogen peroxide, you know, or witch hazel. Two things that would be very, very gentle that wouldn't have any of the potential to sting like that betadine might. And you could use that to wipe just as an alternative.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. I didn't know that the betadine, it is blue. It's blue in color.
Oh,
it's not orange. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was told to dilute it, which I do, and so I thought, well, maybe I didn't dilute it enough. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always good to have it very dilute. That almost sounds like chlorhexidine if it's blue.
Okay.
Which is another antiseptic that's used to clean the skin. So.
But it'd be another one that smells and
stings. Right, exactly. It smells and their nose
stings.
Is right there, and it's,
Okay. Well, thanks so much, and I'll try the coconut oil.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Is there an alternative to prednisone if you're talking about treating asthma?
Well, prednisone is a very potent anti-inflammatory and immune suppressant. So as far as a natural alternative to prednisone, not really. There is nothing that's going to be as fast-acting and as powerful as prednisone is. But prednisone does go in there and can solve the problem for a short period of time. And like I said before, it usually always comes back. So that's why, you know, if you use something like prednisone for asthma to take down the inflammation in those airways, you can also add in something like an herbal support to go deeper and to help maybe heal the problem while you're using the prednisone to get over an acute stage.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today as we talk your pet's health. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, and really pleased to have with me today, and for you, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She provides an option for a holistic and alternative care in addition to basic conventional veterinary services. Always great to have her along. She graduated from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. And Dr. Carrie, thank you again.
Oh, thank you.
It's really great to have you with us. You can join in. Questions? The lines are all filled right at the moment, but the number to call is 800-642-1234. Go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. There's some great photos there right now, and you can post your own photo there, a pet photo, and or a question. We'd love to have either or both, so hope you'll do that. Victoria in Wausau has been waiting quite a while, so let's go to Victoria. Thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi. My husband will be extremely impressed that I actually called in today, but I've got a beagle. And a couple of years ago, she had or was diagnosed with what is called beagle neck syndrome. It's a condition that small dogs get, and it's literally there's a problem with their upper spine in their neck. And my dog literally couldn't move. I would carry her outside to go to the bathroom, and she would just lay there. She was laying around 24/7. Her eyes would get really big, and then she would just cry. I mean, it was just horrible how she cried, and the vets all said she needed a surgery, which was going to be like $4,000, and my husband found in Merrill a place that does acupuncture and also the laser and chiropractic for animals. Mm-hmm. I had one treatment, and she was running around like a puppy.
Wow.
Now, dogs have no preconceived notion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I did have to go through more treatments. The biggest lesson for me on the beagle neck syndrome was to make sure I needed to keep her in a kennel and on a leash for 6 weeks during the time while her neck was healing. But we started with the acupuncture and the laser, and after about a month, I went to the chiropractic doctor there as well. And you know what? She has been running around ever since then, did not need surgery. It works. And I just want to applaud you for doing it because it really, really works.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you for calling, Victoria. That's good to hear, isn't it?
That is so good to hear. Thank you so much for sharing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, because I know there's skeptics out there,
yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But the animals, like you said, you know, they don't know. It just, you know, it's just they just knew they felt better.
Right. I know. And you either see a difference or you don't. And oftentimes, more often than not, you do see a significant difference after just one treatment. And I talk about doing, you know, three treatments and treatments beyond that. But really, one treatment is enough to see a difference.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're very right on the three treatments, because then it was it. And then at that point, you know, we were able to reassess as to what we needed to do. So, you know, everything you're saying is exactly what was done with my beagle, and it's been a couple of years, and she's not had a reoccurring issue at all.
Oh, wonderful.
So good. Thank you, Victoria. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate the call. Well, it's always good to hear that. You know, you can be on and talk about it, but it's always also good to hear from patients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And
successes.
What I found, too, is once people see the difference that it makes in their animals, and most often people that come to see me, they haven't had acupuncture for themselves, and they're kind of bringing their pets in as the guinea pigs. And once they see the difference, then people start to seek out alternatives for themselves and acupuncture. So it's everything, and it helps people as well as animals.
Sasha and Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi there.
I have a 6-year-old miniature schnauzer, and he was a rescue, so I don't know a lot about him except for the last 2 years. He has allergies that we treat with special diet and weekly baths. Mm-hmm. But the main problem is that his eyes are no longer making tears.
Mm.
So all day he's just rubbing and crying, you know, like kind of. It's just awful. So I've taken him to my own vet, and then she referred us to the UW.
Mm-hmm.
And they have given us a stronger prescription for a gel in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But that only seems to have kind of, like, been an immediate solution. So now his eyes aren't, you know, closed. Because for a while there, they were kind of closed shut.
Mm-hmm.
So now he can see and he's happy, but that constant rubbing. I was just wondering if you thought acupuncture might work for it, or maybe one of the other solutions you talked about, the coconut oil or something, just so he's not suffering all the time, you know?
Right, yeah. Exactly. What I have done for dogs that have dry eye is I've either done acupuncture treatments, which would certainly help, but I would always do acupuncture in combination with an herbal formula to kind of help the imbalance in the body that is contributing to the lack of tear production or the dry eyes. There is another, if you didn't want to get into the acupuncture, the herbal medicine, there is a great homeopathic eye drop out there that I use that can also very much help, and it's made by a company called Similisan, Similisan. It's a homeopathic company, and they make something called dry eye relief.
Hmm.
And it's all natural. Okay. It's not going to do any harm, but that might be something that would go in and kind of do that deeper healing to help his body produce more tears.
So that's mixed in with the food?
That is an actual eye drop.
Oh, it's an eye drop. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That you would put in the eyes. So you would want to check with your regular vet and make sure that they would be on board with that. But certainly, I've had great success treating dogs with herbs, with those eye drops and with acupuncture. So I think you could do any of those, or you could do all of those, depending on, you know, what, how much time you have and how much you want to put into it.
Yeah, I just want to do something.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think we've got him better, but not great, you know?
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I took notes. I'm going to look into all three. So
okay.
All right.
Wonderful.
Thanks
thank
a lot,
you.
Sasha. Appreciate your call. And I hope it works out for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jackie in Milwaukee. Good to hear from you. Hi.
Well, I'll tell you, this vet is great. And I have two questions. Number one, Larry, I know what you gave her for her birthday.
Ah!
All right. No. The other thing, I have, if anybody wants to know about hair, have a 68-pound chow chow. And
I can imagine.
Well, I spend half my time brushing. But I give him the cod liver oil, the oil things. But I have heard that cod liver oil might be coming back, a pure cod liver oil. The other question is, when you mentioned turmeric and ginger, in one of the whole dog journals, which is a very good dog magazine, if anyone wants to have something for general information, a woman found that giving the dog turmeric and ginger for something else help to cut down on the amount of lipomas, which are the little tumors. Now, what about the cod liver oil? That used to be good for people. I took it when I was a child. Is that good for dogs? Would that be a substitute for the fish oil?
Yes, and you are exactly right. Cod liver oil is making a comeback. And now, you know, like so many of these things that we used years ago and then kind of put them away as we got more into modern medicine and everything else that was new. And now these things are coming back, and we really realize how beneficial they are. Cod liver oil is great, a source of vitamin A, the omega-3, 6 fatty acids. Wonderful. Yes, I highly recommend that.
There we go.
And you would give that how much, do you think? Is it given per pound? Or, I mean, I've got a 68-pound chow chow with a lot of hair.
Okay. So I would probably dose at, I would say it would be close to 1,000 milligrams twice a day. And I myself take cod liver oil twice a day. And so I would do half of whatever the human dose is. You would probably find it most commonly in a human formula. So I would just cut that in half and then give that amount.
They mentioned getting pure cod liver oil. Is there a problem with that too? That you have to make sure that you get the good stuff?
Yeah. Making sure that it's coming from a good source. One of my favorite brands of the fish oil, cod liver oils, is called Nordic Naturals. And it's highly regulated, very pure formulas. And you can find that at most health food stores. It's called Nordic Naturals.
Spell it?
N-O-R-D-I-C. And then Naturals.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling, Jackie. Always good to hear your voice. Appreciate it very much. And Samantha in Wausau, hi to you. What's on your mind?
Yes, good morning, and thank you. Okay, a little corgi, 2 to 3 years old, ate some potpourri and got very, very sick, toxic. It threw up and threw up and threw up. It did get some kind of medicine from the vet. I don't know. Now, she's really is waiting for the dog to start eating. Is there anything we can do?
Boy, do you know if there was any blood work that was done just to make sure that there anything in that potpourri might not be affecting the liver or the kidneys, which would be responsible for, you know, accumulating any toxin?
No, I don't believe there was any blood work done.
Okay, that might be something. If the dog's still not eating, just to check those values and see if there is something more specific that you need to address. But one thing that you could do is give some milk thistle. And milk thistle is an herb that is used to detoxify the system and helps to support the function of the liver. And the liver is the main organ in the body that helps to detoxify it, get rid of anything that you might not want in the body. So I think you would be safe to, if you found some milk thistle herb, to give some of that to the dog to help flush out anything.
Mm-hmm. Liquid or capsule?
Well, you can find it in either form. At my clinic, I have it in an herbal tincture that's a liquid that has some glycerin in it. It's preserved with glycerin, so it's sweet, so it's easy to give to dogs. And that, I think, would probably be the easiest way to go with giving that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I had listened before, and you were telling somebody maybe to start it with baby food, turkey, or with some rice or something.
Oh, sure. You can always do, if there is any animal that's not wanting to eat, doesn't have a great appetite, you can always just go back to basics and do a simple, bland diet of, you know, boiled white rice and some turkey baby food, some ground turkey. You could even do some cottage cheese, just to be very gentle on the whole system.
And what amount of milk thistle?
I would have to look.
A little corgi.
Yeah, I would have to look up that dose for you. If you wanted to call my clinic or look it up, send me an email and I can get that for you if you get me the weight of the dog.
Okay, and the email would be?
You can email me at info@fullcirclepet.com.
What was the first word?
Info, I-N-F-O.
Okay.
Info@fullcirclepet.com.
Fullcirclepet.com.
Pet.com. And otherwise, do you have a phone number?
Yeah, the phone number for my clinic is 608-620-4729.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, so 608-620-4729.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Got that. And again, I just want to mention, go to our Facebook page if you want to see some really cool pictures. Michael's got a shot of his poodle and golden doodle, which is really cool. Let's see. Linda also sent a photo of her two dogs and cat all reclining.
Oh, look at those guys all sleeping.
Yeah, they look pretty comfy.
Oh.
You know, a woman called to say that we have talked about that lost cat earlier. A woman had a lost cat or that she had found a lost cat or a stray. The lost cat might not have been a stray. Linda, you know, the one that was throwing up, it sounded a lot like her kitty who's been lost for a week. She said that it would be great to remind people to call the local Humane Society right away to see if the cat has been registered as lost.
Mm.
That's a good idea.
That is a very good idea, yes.
Anne in Port Washington, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering if I have a dog, he was a stray, he's probably about 10 to 12 years old. He has been diagnosed with an enlarged heart, which the vet said is probably due. I did not do a complete cardiac workup, mm-hmm. but probably due to a mitral valve issue. I guess that's probably the most mm-hmm. common thing that happens in older dogs. And he's been prescribed Pimobendan, mm-hmm. that's how you say it. And I'm just wondering if you would have any recommendations for anything more holistic to give him than this particular prescription med.
Yeah, definitely. And this would be a case too where your pet might have to be on those prescription meds, but by doing an alternative treatment, by doing some herbal support, you might be able to decrease how much of that pimobendan that you might be giving to him. So three great things supplements that I always recommend for any animal that has a heart issue. The first one is an herbal called hawthorn, and you can find hawthorn in either a capsule form or a tincture. That is really beneficial to support that heart muscle. coenzyme Q10 is an antioxidant that also helps support the function. And lastly, L-carnitine helps that the heart muscle itself. And by using a combination, there are some supplements that have all three of those, the Hawthorn, the CoQ10, and the L-carnitine in them, can really benefit any animal that's got a heart disease, can slow down the progression of the heart disease, can help the heart to function better and to rebuild that muscle.
Okay. And dosage, I can get off the bottle of when I find this concoction.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. One of my favorite products, again, it's made by that Thorn Corporation. It's T-H-O-R-N-E, and it's called BioCardio. It's made specifically for pets that have heart issues, and it's got the dosage. It's got all of those ingredients in there. Wonderful, wonderful
product.
There
we go. Thanks, okay. Ann.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Jim in Orono, Minnesota, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I have an old cat, 21 years old, just before Thanksgiving. Mm. He has gone what I'll describe as deaf. Doesn't hear at all. I think it's the ears and not the brain that's turned out. Mm-hmm. But is there anything, and I've not heard of the acupuncture technique before, mm-hmm. listening as I'm driving along here. Is there anything you can do about the hearing that way, or would you have any thoughts about how to help him get his hearing back?
And how old is your 20, cat?
21.
Oh.
21 years old. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my
Just
gosh.
Just before Thanksgiving.
That is
and
something.
And he's also got arthritis, but that's not something that is unusual when
right.
you're that old.
So. Mm-hmm. And that's yeah. what I would say. If you were interested in doing acupuncture, it might help the deafness, the hearing issue. It has a better chance of helping the arthritis and improving quality of life that way. The deafness or loss of hearing sense, that might be something that would be difficult to overcome with acupuncture. That could just be that part of the aging process that happens that we're not able to do a whole lot about. But maybe, you know, making some changes in your lifestyle to help your cat adapt to that loss of hearing might be something to look into.
He's not unhappy in the
okay.
slightest. He's a sort of half indoors, half outdoors cat.
Mm-hmm.
And he still will take down small rodents, the
wow.
population.
Oh, that's incredible. Wow. So,
at 21
you know,
years of age.
I know, and maybe the loss of hearing isn't going to bother him that much, and animals adapt so well to anything like that. So he might be just fine, and there might not be anything that you're going to be able to do to reverse that hearing loss. It would be a good idea to maybe take him into the vet and have his ears checked, make sure there's no infection going on or anything, even just some waxy buildup that might be part of the problem.
And thanks again, Jim, for calling. Appreciate it. On Facebook, Sally says, my daughter's 5.5-year-old male beagle has just diagnosed with stage 3 lymphoma. Not sure if it's B or T cell. UW protocol was prescribed, and though it's expensive, she might go for it. Her vet okayed. The oncologist does holistic treatments. Mm. Do holistic treatments help in this kind of situation?
Oh yes, definitely. Whether you choose to go forward with chemotherapy or not, holistic treatments to help support the immune system will only help. I've treated many dogs that undergo the chemotherapy and the UW protocol. If they're supported with even something like a medicinal mushroom blend, a Chinese herbal blend, acupuncture, they do so much better going through the treatments. And it can really lengthen the amount of time that they're in remission and that lymphoma goes away. Unfortunately, you know, it's one of those things where it's difficult to or near impossible to have it go away completely. But if you can get your pet's quality of life as good as possible, doing the holistic alternatives will help with that.
All right, there we go. And wow, the time flew by.
It did.
Carrie, thank you so much. Oh. And again, your website, how do people?
It is fullcirclepet.com.
And I know you often come back to our website and will comment.
Oh, I do. If anybody has questions and you post them on Larry's Facebook page, I will go on later today and tomorrow and answer any questions that you might have that I can help with.
You are a peach. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. And she is a peach, and we'll have her back. We'll do it again.
You.
She does a wonderful job, and she's been very, very helpful to many of our listeners, including maybe you. So thanks to her, and she'll be back. We have tomorrow. What are we going to do tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow we'll be talking with one of the authors of a wonderful new field guide to the trees of North America. So I'll look forward to that and look forward to having you join us again here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.